victory. And so if you would, we're going to turn in our Bibles into the New Testament. We're going to be looking today at inner spiritual disciplines. Doesn't that sound fun? Amen. Only the pastor said that because he is the most disciplined man that I know. 1 Timothy, we're going to be looking at 1 Timothy 4:7. If someone is going to do a discipline, it's going to be him. He wakes up at 5 o'clock every morning to work out. It annoys me because I always think I'm going to work out, but I never work out. Can I get an amen from somebody who does not work out, who made no New Year's resolutions to work out because you thought, I'm not going to follow them, so I'm not going to do them, as you can see. And he's like, Tara, that's not healthy. You should not be preaching that way, and I'm sorry. He does. I never met someone like, oh, when Ted gave his life to the Lord, he smoked and cussed, and is that what you say now? Cussed? And so, and immediately God just took it from him, and he never did it again, drinking, you know, whatever. And he's just, whenever he does something, he is disciplined. I, on the other hand, am not disciplined. And so anybody in the room, you're not disciplined. You're like, it's sometimes. So for me, even the word discipline sort of stresses me out. Like, I'm like, discipline? Like, that sounds bad. And I want to have fun. And I want to do crazy things. And the word discipline, if you don't know what it means, is showing a controlled form or a behavior or a way of working things out. And so I want to talk this morning about being disciplined, but having spiritual disciplines, the inward. Now, we're going to be talking about the outward, but today we're going to be talking about the inward. Everybody say inward. Inward spiritual disciplines. So if you're writing notes this morning, write that word, inward spiritual disciplines. Now, if we're going to march forward and we are going to stand firm, we have to be good about this. The people that have made it through the last 2 years of pandemic slash hurricane slash whatever in the world is going to happen in 2022, you have to be disciplined. Everybody say disciplined. Now say it like you're excited. Disciplined. And now, thank you. There was the Marine shouting it out. And so that's what they live on, is discipline. It is the disciplines of your faith that will determine the direction of our lives. So it's the disciplines of our faith that will determine the direction of the way that we live our life. Only the disciplined ones in life are free. If you are undisciplined, you are a slave to your moods and your passions. Now you think, well, I don't really want to be disciplined, but the best people were disciplined. If you think of great people, I don't know who you look up to. Maybe your literature. Anybody like literature? You like English? And so Hemingway was a famous poet and writer, and he says that he was most disciplined. He would get so worried if one word was out of place, and he became famous because his words mattered, but he was disciplined. Famous Michelangelo, you might have heard of Michelangelo, had millions of sketches before he put up the greatest sketch on the Sistine Chapel. Again, Michelangelo was disciplined to find the greatest piece of work. And then there was Churchill, who had a deliberation over speeches. Churchill, the famous Winston Churchill, he would practice to himself speeches over and over again so that whenever the war became real, he became one of the greatest speech givers, that's orators, that ever was because of the discipline of Churchill's life. Kobe Bryant, the famous late great Kobe Bryant, he was known to be the most disciplined man on the court. He would show up first and he would leave the gym last. He crafted basketball and he looked at everything all because he was disciplined. So today we're going to learn about the inner spiritual disciplines. What are they? We have a couple that I think of. People will tell different things, but one is reading the word. Everybody say reading the word. Reading the Bible, getting into the Bible. That's why we're saying this year, get into the Bible app, join us, go to our social media sites and find the link and join us, because there's an accountability that I have, that you have, when we do this together. And so you read the word, perhaps journaling. Anybody journal in the house? Like, you journal what God is speaking to you, or maybe even just getting some things off of your chest. So journaling can be a inner spiritual discipline. Prayer. prayer and fasting coupled with that, about 3 years ago, Ted and I have begun fasting as a discipline of our life. So most every Monday, and you can join us, on Mondays we are fasting. And I always discipline myself to fast for a certain individual or a situation, but I give up food for that Monday for breakfast and lunch. We fast together. It helps me. I need accountability. So we fast together and ask the Lord to do a work. So prayer and fasting, and then also the discipline of worship. And so today I'm going to be speaking on all these things. On 2022, that's how we're going to march forward and to really understand what God has. Now, I look up to spiritual giants. For me, David Wilkerson, Corey Ten Boom, Hudson Taylor, these guys, William Wilberforce, George Mueller, all these guys had one thing in common. They were disciplined. Why? Because storms hit. Because things hit, not just physical storms, spiritual storms, not just pandemics, we have those things, but also inside of our heart, things eat. And you have to be disciplined in order to march forward and stand firm. Now, I think of eating. Anybody like eating? Anybody in the house? Like, I love to eat. And so for me, this is how I think of inner spiritual disciplines. There are outer spiritual disciplines, like gathering together on church on Sundays. We think that you should do that. In fact, the Bible says to do that more and more as you see the day approaching, that we are to gather together and to get discipled together. And so if you ever go out to eat, which nowadays is hard to go out to eat, I have a family of six and I think prices have doubled. And so we don't often go out to eat. But when we do, last week we took our kids to Baton Rouge. They had some gift cards. Their grandmother and grandfather decided to give each one of my kids gift cards to different places. Hallelujah. And so it wasn't just all one place and you go use all your money at one place. It's like Marshall's, Target, all these things. And so we said, oh, we'll just go to Baton Rouge. We'll make a day of it. And so we go out to Baton Rouge and we go to every store known to mankind. And so we're sitting there and everybody's hungry. And so it was like, we'll take the kids out to eat. We haven't taken them out to eat in forever because it's costly with six people. So we have a family vote. We're going to vote for what we're going to eat, and wings win. Wings always wins in my family. And so so they're like, we're going to go eat wings. And so I do the best thing. I go and Google search best wings around me, because that's what you do. And so I'm Google searching wings, and this place comes up, Wings and Things. Wings and Things. And I said, that sounds good. Has a lot of stars on it. So I go there, and so we pull in, and it's in a gas station. So I know gas station food is the best food. You know what I'm talking about? And so we go in the gas station, and I'm like, Ted, it's going to be great. It's going to be super great. And so we walk into Wings and Things, and it's in Baton Rouge. And so we walk in, and there are only 8 flavors of wings. That's how you know it's going to be good. If you have 25 flavors, I'm like, about 10 of them are going to be no good. But this place had all the wings, only 8 flavors. We pick them out, garlic parmesan. We pick out mild because we got some kids that only want mild. I got hot happening. So we sit there, and they make them fresh, and you smell it, and they take it out to the table. And it was incredible. It was the best wings. It was better than Wild Wings or whatever wings you get from Homa. I don't know what the best place in Homa is. All I know is Wing and Things is where it's at. That is gathering together. We talk about it. We'll talk about it together. We'll say, wow, those wings were so good. We're going to go back there. We have it on our calendar. You know, it's on our calendar, our list to do. We're going back to Wings and Things. That is the outer gathering. That's where we gather together. You know what I'm talking about? When God moves on a particular Sunday and the Holy Spirit comes in. And for me, that's Wings and Things. That's the big place that we always talk about. Like for me at camp, I gave my life to the Lord. I was at a Sunday service when I was a senior in high school. And I remember the Lord speaking to me in a service much like this. And it was at the end of the service and God said, I want you to give me my life. That was the outer gathering. That was the big restaurant. That was the good restaurant. And I said yes to the Lord. I remember together, I was with a group of people gathered together. Notice these things happen, gathered together. And I'm praying at a castle in El Salvador together with a group of my friends. And God gives us the vision for this whole thing that is happening right now. That is the thing that I talk about. That is the thing that holds me. But you can't live from experience to experience. You can't live from one camp to the next or one men's conference to the next. Because if so, you will begin to grow a little bit hungry and you will start to starve. And so for me, as soon as we ate at Wings and Things, the next day was January 1st. And so I said, I'm going to start eating healthier. And so I became disciplined and I fixed something from the fridge. I didn't really talk to you about it because it probably wasn't that amazing. But it was good and it nourished my family. And the next day, I take out something. We had cooked something big and Asian. And so I have Filipino children, so we cook a big Asian meal. Again, it wasn't Wings and Things, but it sustained my family. And the next day, I cooked mixed cauliflower. I did some cauliflower, that cauliflower rice, you know what I'm talking about? And then I put some vegetables in it. So here I am fixing red beans and sausage the next day. I remember it. And so those things get me to the next thing. It gives nutrition to me. It gives nutrition to my family. It's a discipline of my life that I'm going to cook for my family. And I'm going to help them to have a healthy life. And so is it with inner spiritual disciplines. If you only go to the big things, the conference, if you only go to church on Sunday, you are starving yourself for the rest of the week. You are not listening and growing to the Lord. And when a storm comes, and Jesus says they will come, you are not disciplined in your life. And so the storms affect you so much worse. That's 2020. That's 2021. If we have the inner spiritual disciplines. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7. It'll be on the screen. Verse 7 and verse 8. It says this. Train. Everybody say train. This is a discipline. It says in 1 Timothy verse 4, 7, and 8, train yourself for godliness. Everybody say train one more time. Train yourself for godliness. So 1 Timothy, it says train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. And it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So this morning, inner spiritual disciplines train me. Now the word was actually gymnos, which meant sort of similar to our gymnasium. So when he says train yourself for godliness, it's sort of like you need to show up to the gym every morning spiritually. You need to, and in that day, whenever they would compete, they would actually take off all of their garments so that they didn't have anything weighing them down. And they would show up and they would train themselves athletically. And the Bible says we are to train ourselves spiritually. We're to look at our lives and say, okay, God, we are going to train and exercise and train and exercise. And it's the word gymnos, train yourself. It's a spiritual discipline of your life. Whether or not we have disciplined ourselves will make a huge difference in my life. If you discipline yourself. But I would go to far as say, whether or not we have disciplined ourselves will make a huge difference in the lives around me. I'll never forget as a freshman in high school, I was wilding out and being crazy. And my father trained himself in the disciplines that I just told you about, prayer and fasting and reading the word and worship. And I would wake up in the morning and my father was getting ready to go to work. And we have an upstairs and a downstairs. On the downstairs sofa, every single morning when I went to school, my father was on his knees on a sofa with his Bible on one side praying. He was probably praying for me, the bad kid of his family. He probably even fasted a couple of times. Why? He trained himself. And that discipline that I saw of him every single day, I didn't do it then. But now I do it so that my kids see that I am training myself and I am disciplining myself. They know where mom's prayer corner is. In fact, sometimes they go write sticky notes and put up things that I need to pray for their lives. They know that this is the area that their mom speaks to the Lord. This is the area where their mom reads the word. This is the area. They know on Mondays I fast. They don't have to ask me if I'm fasting. They already know because I think that what I am doing will pass on down to my kids. And it might not be today, and it might not be tomorrow, but the spiritual disciplines of my life are affecting not only me, they affect all of us. I am better when I am spiritually disciplined for you. And you are better, and we are better when we are spiritually disciplined. How can we march forward if we are not disciplining ourselves in the Lord? If we're not reading the word, if we're not praying, if we're not journaling, if we're not worshiping, how can we march forward? Because marching requires a group. It looks silly if I'm just sitting here marching by myself. It's not bad, but it's not the best thing. We march together. If we're to march forward in 2022, I need you to march with me. And you need me to march with you. It's a spiritual discipline that comes over our lives. It says that as for the life to come, it says that in the scriptures, it says it affects me now. But how much more so when you stand before your heavenly Father, will you have hoped that you have been spiritually disciplined? God, I spent time with you. God, I fasted. God, I heard the word of the Lord. God, I worshiped you in earth. So worship in heaven is not even a big thing. See, we have to discipline ourselves now, because one day we stand before the heavenly Father, not just to get in, but also to be accounted for. And so we have to discipline our lives. So why? I make it to the end. I don't want to just go another 5 years and stop. I don't want to go another 20 years and stop. I want to march forward. I want to be old and 99 worshiping Jesus and have something to say about what God is telling me. And that happens through inner spiritual discipline. So today I have three people. If you'll come up to the stage, I asked you guys to do this with me. So we'll grab a mic for them. They'll need a mic so that you can hear if you're watching us online. How do we do that? And I think it's simple as a pastor to say, well, I've got the most perfect way, and all of your ways sort of stink. But that would be incorrect. I think that we can learn from each other the inner spiritual disciplines of prayer, of journaling. Some people are here because of their prayer and journaling. Some are here because of their worship. And so we want to hear one or two minutes, what does that look like for them, daily inner spiritual discipline? So what we're going to do is we're going to start with Miss Mercedes. Miss Mercedes, y'all give her a big hand. She's up here with me. I love her, love her. She stayed out with us Friday night until like, yeah. She's so good. So yeah, amen. One of the things I love about Mercedes, if you don't know, their home was sort of destroyed during Ida. And the team came in from another place. We had teams all over. And this lady and Mr. Leonard never lost their smile. They never lost the joy of the Lord. And I have to think that some of that is because of the inner spiritual disciplines of her praying and being in the Lord. So, Miss Mercedes.
Good morning,
just got to put it to your mouth.
Okay, yeah. What prayer means to me is God talking to us through the word of God, and we talking back to him. And the Lord took me to Daniel, the sixth chapter. Many of you asked me.
Yes, ma'am.
That's where he took me to Daniel, the sixth chapter, and I read it for myself. And Daniel prayed. Morning, noon, and evening. He prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, just like he was saying. Mm-hmm. And things begin to happen. When we pray to God in his word and stand up on his word, God will hear if we sincere, believe, trust him, and he will, and obey him, he will do just what he said. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. One of the things, we'll move right over to Jeremy. I love when he preaches, he always talks about journaling. And I am not a journaler. I journal loosely once a month. But he does it as an inner spiritual discipline. And so he's going to share some of that and whatever else God gave him.
Yeah, and that's something that was instilled in me at a place of restoration. The guys journal 7 days a week. And I think the main reason for that is a lot of what Miss Mercedes just shared. It's just conversing with God and you're writing it down. And so one of the problems that I have, at least, I don't want to speak for all of you, but I think it's a human condition, is that consistency is just an issue for us. And so it's easy, sometimes it's even easy to be consistent in showing up, but it's hard to be consistent in like showing up. And so I can be present physically and I can do the disciplines a lot of times, but I'm not actually present mentally, spiritually. I'm not invested in what I'm doing. I'm just kind of checking the box sometimes because I know I'm supposed to do it. And so journaling helps me to engage. You have to actually think and pray and be quiet so that you can hear from God, so you have something to write down. It's easy a lot of times just to read through the Word of God, even right now as we're making it a spiritual discipline daily to read the Word of God. It's easy sometimes just to read it, and there's actually literally a box to check, and it feels good. You check it, and it moves on to the next thing. But are you really present? And so I was thinking this morning what the Word is supposed to do. It says in Hebrews 4, it says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, and all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." So, like, the Word of God is supposed to do something to us. It's supposed to, like, it's talking about very specific things. Like, it's piercing between bone and marrow. That's like a microscopic incision. And so it's supposed to be getting at very specific things in our heart. And sometimes we can just read the Word, and it doesn't do anything to our heart because we're not really engaged in what we're reading. And so a journal, you can read passages, and if something stands out to you, you can go to your journal. You can say, "God, what are you trying to show me about myself? Or what are you trying to show me about your nature? Or what are you trying to show me about your faithfulness?" Or whatever it's about, how is that relevant in my life? And you can make it very personal to you, and that's when change happens in us. That's when transformation happens in us. And then real quickly, the other thing that we do is on a daily basis, we evaluate. I say we, me and the guys at the program, we evaluate our prior day. And so you start off every day with a journal, giving thanks for whatever it is, the people God has put in your life, his faithfulness, waking up that day, whatever it is. And then you go into looking at the day before, and you just pick one or two attitudes, negative attitudes that you maybe showed the day before, and you write them down, and you ask for forgiveness, and that's biblical. And then you say, "God, what do you want to do in me? What do you want to show me about myself? What do you want? How can I go about changing these attitudes?" And then you sit and listen, and we believe that God speaks to our heart. You know, I believe if God can speak the universe into existence, it's not a big task for him to speak to my heart. And so then you just get quiet and you sit and you listen. And then you write down what you feel like God is saying to you into your heart. And then the Bible comes into effect at that point because you have to evaluate what you think God is speaking to you based on biblical truths. You know, so if I get in an argument with my wife the day before and I go and say, "God, what do you want to show me about myself through that argument?" If he says, like, "Oh, nothing, it was her. Her attitude's bad." Sometimes you just have to put up with people that are just aggravating, you know, or disrespectful or whatever. And then I go to the Word of God. I'm not going to find any evidence that what I heard from God was true. That's my own polluted mindset getting into telling me what I want to hear. So anytime I've ever brought anything that I've, you know, if there's been something with my wife and I or another individual, and "God, what do you want to show me about that situation?" God is always going to speak to me about my issue and what he wants to do in me. And so it helps me, journaling helps me to take the Word of God and bring it into my life and make it practical and something that can affect change in me. And B, it helps me to take ownership of my attitudes and actions and then to hear biblical advice, transformational words from the Lord about myself that helps me to keep marching forward. Sometimes I get stale in my walk. Sometimes I get bored and sometimes I get lazy and inconsistent. And if I sit there and say, "God, what do you want to show me?" He reminds me of what my calling is in my life, is to live in a manner worthy of the calling. And that there are things that I have to do to keep in step and to keep marching forward.
And then Victor, obviously, just worship. I know he does others, but we asked him to speak on that because he will always send us once a week on our worship team. We have like a group message going on, and he'll say whenever you're down or you feel like less, he'll always have a song for us. And I am so encouraged because I don't always do that discipline well of listen. I listen to worship. I listen to Christian music, but not always in the way that he does. I thought he was an excellent example of the inner discipline of worship.
Okay. Yeah, my name is Victor. When I was a teenager, 14 years old, I only make a question that who I am, what you have for me, because I saw guys with a lot of talents, you know, best singers, best players. And I say, we say, wow, those guys are wonderful. And I said, Father, I know nothing is special. And it coming to be something to feel some coming drawing me and coming me down and feel some like I'm not special. But in one moment when I was feeling the presence of God, he said, focus in Mary and focus in John. I was reading about that. And I was looking that John was always close to the chest of the master, you know? Well, all the disciples was joking, fishing. He liked to want be close to the chest. And then Martha was doing a lot of things, and Mary was close to the feet of the master. What means that? I said. And in this moment, I understand that he called me and he said, my calling is that you need to be close to my heart. And you need looking for my presence. And that's what I tried to do after this day. And every day, the first thing that I'm doing is give to pray, thank you, God, for this day, and then focus and look the presence of God. You need to choose what kind of music you want to hear, what kind of music you want to listen to, what kind of music. All this, we have a lot of music, Christian music, not Christian music, but you need to choose what kind of music, of worship music, is good to feel the presence of God in your life. And the first thing I did is focus in the presence of God, and then after that, I continue with my work.
Amen. Amen. Would you give them a round of applause? Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. And so, as we close out, and so we look at this, and I think, is it on the slides? We're going to do soap really, really quickly. So whenever you look at this with the Word of God, to read Scripture, this is in your bulletin, this is in your planners, and whenever we read words, and you heard Jeremy say this, we don't want to just be this is what we do. We take the Scripture and we read it. So this week, we're looking at Genesis, we're looking at, some of you are looking at Psalms. We take the Scripture and we read it. What stuck out to you the most? Write it down. Feel free to make it a work of art. For all you artists out there, draw something on the side. For me, one time I was reading about, anytime I saw the word angel in the Bible, I just put angel wings just to remind me, look at the angels and what happened when the angels show up. And so we take a scripture, which is soap, S is soap, and then the O is to observe. Everybody say observation. So you look at it, and what do you think about the verse? What did God speak to you? What is he revealing to you through it? Do any words stand out? If you see repetitive words like holy, 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 there is something about the trinity of words. And so look that up and say, what does it mean in the original language? This is as we get closer in. Who is the author addressing? What is the cultural context? What is the passage about? And so we look at all these things. So we find the scripture. We observe the scripture. Now, this is the big part. Everybody, the A part is application. Everybody say application. How do you apply that truth that you just read or that you just sung about, or as you're praying and you're fasting, how do you apply that to your life? We can all read the Word of God, but it will just be a history book unless we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and say, okay, and what in your life aligns to the Word, and what do you need to change? Have you seen growth in any areas? That is application. And then the last thing, and I think this is a great method. It doesn't have to be the only method. It's you look at Scripture, you observe it, you have application, and then you pray. you write a prayer asking how to implement this verse in your life. You pray for others. You begin to write a prayer journal. And your planner this year is January. And you can just write prayers that you're praying for other people. Maybe people you're seeing to save for healing. I know my pastor, I was single for a long time. And my pastor, he said that I was always in his prayer journal. And the day that I got married, he was so excited because he could cross my name out. Hallelujah. And so we see that as a prayer. And you will see, because sometimes we're fleshly and we don't remember, but we'll see, look at what God has done. See, personal, inner, spiritual devotion. Do you have it? As we close out the service, we'll play that song. But I want to think of your life. I want you to think of your life right now.